wasn't afraid to take a shower after watching the classic horror film Psycho. I can't say horror movies are my favorite genre. I spend most of the time with my hands over my eyes, but I have seen quite a few of them, from the original Dracula to the Dawn of the Dead to the Halloween series to The Shining and many more. What is the best horror movie you've ever seen? Good morning, I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 8.5 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Thursday, October 31st. We will start off our Halloween talking with a horror movie fan who also reviews and makes movies. And we will find out what he rates among the best and the worst horror films of all time. And we will welcome your nominations too at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Kevin Lindenmuth. He produces horror movies and he is the head of Brimstone Media Productions. He is also author of Horror Movies, The Good, The Bad, and The So Bad They're Good. Good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Thanks a lot for being with us. So how did you become a fan of horror films?
Well, of course, you know, something I was exposed to a lot as a kid, watching horror movies. I've had parents who watched horror movies, had a grandmother who loved horror movies. And so when I was, I remember watching movies from when I was like 3, 4 years old. Used to watch the original Dark Shadows when I was on TV.
Me too.
I think that's why I like vampires. You know, like the real vampires. You know, who you know suck blood and kill people, and you know they're not your friend sort of vampire. And then when I was a little bit older, I couldn't get in to see the original Friday the 13th and all those sort of slasher copies that happened around that same time because I was only like, you know, 13, 14. And my grandmother loved those movies. Actually, the gorier, the better. And so we'd go out and see these horror movies together because she liked them as well. So, you know, I thought that was sort of funny. And she loved the zombie movies, too, like Return of the Living Dead and all those type of things.
That's hilarious. Not many. I don't think many people have memories of going to horror movies with grandma.
Yeah. And when I was real, you know, little, used to stay over at her house. And we'd stay up really late and watch, you know, the late show, you know, when we would show movies at 11 or 12 o'clock. And, you know, that's exciting when you're a little kid, being able to stay up that late and, you know, be scared.
Yeah.
So that's why I like them. They sort of stuck with me, you know, through the years. And since then, I can't even imagine how many horror movies I've seen.
Oh, boy. Well, and you, I said that you make horror movies. You make other movies or documentaries, too. But your first one was Vampires and Other Stereotypes.
Oh, yeah. So I always loved horror movies. And when I was a kid, I thought, gee, I want to make some, you know, when I get older. That's what I want to do, write and make movies. And I did that. I went to University of Michigan. I was a film video major. And soon after that, I moved to New York City, and I was working for a company that did a lot of different commercials and stuff. And I had access to their equipment. It was sort of one of the perks. And, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of equipment. And so I shot these things actually on video and then made them look like film. There's this process you could put them through. And I think I was among some of the first people to do that on such a low-budget level. And that was released, and I think I got that one into a bunch of different video stores and sold it to different countries. And then after that, I did a whole slew of them throughout the 90s and early 2000. And I sort of switched gears and did documentaries because this is sort of my living. So that's kind of how I got into doing that, because so many people started making low-budget independent horror movies that it was, like, swamped. And, you know, I just sort of didn't do something different for a bit. So, but I love the horror movies. I'm sure I'll get back to it pretty soon.
Why do you suppose you're not alone? So many people love horror movies. Why do you think we want to be spooked or scared?
Well, the main thing, you want to be entertained, and they are entertaining. And there's so many different kinds. You know, with dramas, there's not that much of a wide range. You know, you need to have the good story, the good acting. But with horror movies, you have horror movies that are comedies. You have horror movies that are, you know, put you through the meat grinder almost watching because they're so terrible and, you know, sort of horrendous to watch, like the Hostel movies or the Saw movies where you're witness to these people being tortured and you're cringing about what horrible things are going to be done to them. And that's a different type of horror than, let's say, watching The Exorcist or watching Poltergeist. Poltergeist, to me, is one of the best ghost stories, you know, haunted house movies ever. I love that movie. And it's still creepy to me.
Mm-hmm.
So there's so many different ways you can be entertained by them. And again, I think a lot of people who are horror movies now, especially adults, well, they were when they were a kid. I never heard of anybody all of a sudden, you know, never have watched horror movies, and then all of a sudden they're a fan. You know, it's usually something that sticks with you your whole life.
Yeah, the first horror movie that I remember seeing was Dracula. I was a little kid, and it was at the downtown movie theater in Appleton, Wisconsin. I think it was even a matinee of all things.
Uh-huh.
And I was so frightened that I wore a rosary that had a cross around my neck so that when I slept, the vampire wasn't going to get me. But we asked you to give us a couple of your favorite horror movies, and one was the Dawn of the Dead. Let's just take a little listen to a clip.
Okay.
With those bay doors open, there's going to be 1,000 zombies in here. That'll take the heat off us.
These guys are going to have their hands full.
So that was the original, wasn't it?
Yeah, the original Dawn of the Dead, yeah.
And that was zombies that were, you know, wandering around eating people and making them zombies.
Mm-hmm.
That was scary. It was black and white. I remember that, right?
Well, the black and white one was the original, and that was Night of the Living Dead.
Oh, okay.
The one that they were, you hear that line, Barbara, they're coming to get you, and the brother is messing with the sister in the graveyard, and we see the first zombie, and it kills him, and it goes after her, and she runs to this nearby farmhouse, and there's people already there sort of barricading themselves against these, you know, the dead that came back to animated and want to eat them. But the Dawn of the Dead was a sequel made, I think it was made like 10, 12 years later after that, and it took place in a mall where a group of people barricade themselves in a shopping mall. And they kill all the zombies, and they sort of stay there for a while and try to have as normal a life as they can. And they run into some problems. But, yeah, that's a good movie. It has such a feeling of dread about it. And it's intense. You know, these zombies, you know, they want to – there's something about a monster or a creature that – you know, being killed is bad enough, but they want to eat you. They want to eat you while you're still alive. So I find that terrifying. You know, those old-fashioned zombies like that.
Now I remember that was the sequel. The Dawn of the Dead was the sequel.
Yeah. So, and what's really interesting to me is, well, you have TV shows like Walking Dead, which is a really well-done zombie show, and it's one of my favorite TV shows. And right now in that show, all these survivors have sort of barricaded themselves in an abandoned prison. And all the zombies are outside, and they can't get through the prison gate. So they are hiding out there and trying to have a life there. And that's really taken from, you know, the whole Dawn of the Dead movie. It's a very similar premise. So, you know, horror makers, they recycle ideas all the time, and they try to put their own spin on it. And so it's definitely a reference to Dawn of the Dead, the new, you know, Walking Dead TV series.
We are talking with Kevin Lindenmuth. He is the author of Horror Movies, The Good, The Bad, and The So Bad They're Good. And we welcome your nominations for any of those categories, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is The Ideas Network. We are talking about horror movies this hour on this Halloween morning, like The Exorcist. Who thought that one was scary? I did. We are talking with Kevin Lindenmuth. He produces horror movies, and he is the head of Brimstone Media Productions, and he's also the author of horror movies, The Good, The Bad, and The So Bad They're Good. 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. And we have lots of callers with some nominations, so let's go to Dan in Drummond first. Hello, Dan.
Hello. I think for me, the one that actually turned me on to horror movies and that was the Amityville Horror.
Yeah, that was one that you said, Kevin, was that you thought, or no, that wasn't, that was a different one. What did you think of Amityville Horror?
Oh, yeah, the original one, the one that was done in the 70s. That was great. I liked that movie. It was a very well done, you know, haunted house.
That was the one where, was that the one where they had a housing development on a sacred burial ground?
Oh, that was Poltergeist.
I get them all confused.
Yeah, that was Poltergeist. Yeah, Amityville is based on the book, and the family moves in, and then the husband, I think it was James Brolin, he gets sort of possessed by the killer, or the, you know, sort of the, he becomes, starts becoming like the killer who lived in the house before them, who killed his family, and the walls are like oozing, like it looks sort of like blood. It's like this black stuff, and there's, yeah, it's a very creepy movie.
Yeah, and you had another one, Dan, that you wanted to mention?
Well, there was, but then I had a different one that came to mind, and I think the other one that came to mind was The Omen.
Oh, The Omen, yeah, the original Omen. That's a great one.
Yeah, why was that great, Kevin?
Well, I had an evil kid, you know. He's basically the son of Satan. And, you know, it's a, you know, kids, usually you're not afraid of them. And so when they're able to make you, you know, frightened of watching this kid and what he can do and what he can influence. And, you know, people, audiences are always afraid of devils and demons because that's something really intangible. You could kill, like, a zombie because, you know, they're definitely, like, this shambling dead walking towards you, or You know it's a monster. You know it's something to run away from. But with The Omen, it's this kid, and everybody knows this kid is, you know, the son of Satan, and he's going to be doing stuff and influencing people. And so it's just creepier. It's a little bit more subtle. But at the same time, throughout that movie, people are killed in terrible ways. So, yeah, it's a good movie. It's a, and it had three sequels to it, actually. And I love all the sequels. They're very interesting.
Let's go next to Terrell in Appleton. Hi, Terrell. What are some of your favorites?
Well, I have three. The one that is so neglected, it's never on every year, and I just can't believe everybody ignores it, is the Dracula movie with Frank Langella and Sir Laurence Olivier. It's sensual, it's visual, it's scary. It is one of the best movies ever made, and you never see it.
Why do you suppose that is, Kevin?
Yeah, that's a great version of Dracula. I love that movie. And it is. It's very different. It's sort of a different take on him. It makes him more sympathetic. Frank Langella is Dracula. And there's some really creepy scenes in that. And Laurence Olivier is Van Helsing, and he's great in that part because he's just, you know, basically sort of portrayed as the bad guy and Dracula more as the good guy, so they twisted it around a little bit. And it has great effects. You know, it has Dracula turning into a wolf, and it's just a very well-done movie. It reminds me a bit of this, I think it was made around the same time. There was another Dracula movie made for TV, and it was done by Dan Curtis, who did, you know, the original Dark Shadows show, and it starred Jack Palance as Dracula, and they try to spin that off as a more sympathetic Dracula as well. So you actually felt sorry for him by the time he was killed. So, yeah, that was a good movie.
What else, Terrell?
Well, in the 1950s, I'm 72, so I was a kid in the 50s, and The Thing came out. And I remember them putting that warming blanket over this frozen hunk that they found in the up in the Antarctica, and it's melting, and a guy's sitting by it, and you can just see it's melting, and then this thing comes out. It is just the scariest movie, and they remade it, and it's nothing like the 50s one.
And what was the thing, just a monster? I don't remember.
Oh, it was a monster frozen in ice, and they found him in the North Pole. And he came from an outer space thing. And then when he gets up, I mean, you're sitting there, and you know the ice is melting, and this guy is out in the freezer, you know, but he can't look at him, so he covers him with a blanket. Well, it happens to be a heated blanket. And the ice is melting away, and you know this monster's inside this hunk of ice, and he gets up to walk, and oh, my gosh, scary, scary stuff.
Terrell, thanks very much. I know you might have another one, but we've got so many callers. We also have John in La Crosse who emails that he had a younger coworker ask him about scary movies that were more than gore and computer special effects. And John suggested the original Invasion of the Body Snatchers from the 50s, and also the original The Thing, which is Terrell's The Thing. Both scared me plenty as a kid. Are you familiar with The Thing, Kevin?
Oh, yeah, that's great. The original is great from the 50s. It's a great monster movie, and it is very creepy. You know, even though it's sort of science fiction in a way because it has an alien, you know, I sort of view all alien and monster movies as horror movies, but yeah, it's a very effective one. And then, you know, it was remade in the 80s, and much more special effects. It's a completely different movie. It's a very different take on it, just as, you know, with the original Invasion of the Body Snatchers, that's a great, you know, creepy movie. And then, you know, they sort of remade that and made a different version of it in the 70s. And then again, they made an Invasion of the Body Snatchers in the 90s. And then I think 10 years ago, they redid it again. And, you know, both Invasion of the Body Snatchers and The Thing, they're both based on books. You know, The Thing is based on a short story, and Invasion of the Body Snatchers is actually a book. And so, you know, it isn't necessarily like a remake, the movies. It's more of like a readaptation of the original source. But yeah, they're great. I love those movies.
Now, what about John's, you know, the comment that scary movies that are more than gore and computer special effects? Talk a little bit about what makes a horror movie a good horror movie. Does it need gore?
Well, it depends what you're looking for. You know, if you want to be scared, you know, you want something that's going to scare you, and you know, thinking about things and the suspense, and, you know, that's what scares you. And so a lot of movies are just crafted that way, and there's very little gore in them. Like the original Blair Witch, when that came out, I found that very creepy, but, you know, there's no gore in it. Mm-hmm. Nothing really happens that you see. It's all sort of off screen, and these, you know, characters are freaking out about what could be out in the woods, this, you know, witch or whatever. And it's a very creepy movie, and there isn't any gore, and you don't really don't see much, but it's still very effective. And that's great because it does creep you out. And then there are other horror movies that, you know, don't even really attempt to scare you. They're more like an endurance test, and people will see them like, oh, wow, I sat through that movie. It was terrible because all these horrible things happen to people. And you leave those, and you're really not scared when you leave those, like the Saw movies or Hostel. You're more relieved. You're like, wow, I was just, you know, barraged with all these horrible images and taken along this terrible ride, and, you know, thank God this happened to other people and not me. You know, it's sort of that type of movie. So there's so many different kind of horror movies. They're different, they're the opposite ends of the horror spectrum.
Well, let me go to Damien in Green Bay. Hi, Damien.
Good morning. Happy Halloween.
Yes, you too.
Well, I mean, you actually just answered my question. My question to your guest was if he felt that the, you know, modern trend with a lot of horror movies, the Saw, the Hostels, the remake of The Evil Dead, which was pretty good but extremely gory, if all of the extreme gore in modern horror takes away from sort of the pizzazz and suspense of classic horror movies, but he did just delve into that already.
Different genres. I guess I'm thinking, is there a lot of these are older movies, Kevin. Is there something today that's not just the slasher type of horror movie?
Well, they're still being made. There's lots of the trend lately. There's a lot of these movies that are like found footage movies. Like the premise is that something was videotaped, and they found it afterwards, and they sort of put it together, like the Paranormal Activity movies do that. And I've only seen the first one of those, but it was all sort of from the point of view of like a security camera that they put in their house because they thought the house was haunted. And so you see all this sort of weird stuff happening. And it makes it seem more real because it makes it seem like a documentary. And no, I find those creepy to a certain extent. And there's never any gore or anything. It's just sort of, you know, shapes moving on the camera, something behind somebody that they don't see but you see, things moving by themselves. And so it's all set up to be the creepy. And there isn't any gore. And that's like complete opposite of like the Saw movies.
Yeah. Well, let me hold you there because we have news coming up from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio. And we have many other callers lined up who want to nominate their favorite or maybe least favorite horror movie on this Halloween. We are talking with Kevin Lindenmuth. He is the author of horror movies, The Good, The Bad, and The So Bad They're Good. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We are starting off our Halloween morning by talking about scary movies like Halloween. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 6:37 on this Thursday, October 31st. We welcome your favorite horror movies, your nomination for the scariest movie ever. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Kevin Lindenmuth. He produces horror movies. He is the head of Brimstone Media Productions, and he is the author of horror movies, The Good, The Bad, and The So Bad They're Good. And we have many, many callers, but I wanted to follow up a little bit on Halloween, because we got an email from Debbie who couldn't, she said that the scariest movie that she ever saw was Nightmare on Elm Street, but she also wondered about the movie Halloween. She had heard it was based on a true story, and she says the true story involves a guy in Fond du Lac. Apparently somebody who has been committed for, you know, doing terrible things. And do you happen to know, Kevin, if Halloween was based on a true story?
No, I never heard that, actually.
Yeah, well, we'll look it up. We'll look it up to see if that's the case. I know that Psycho was loosely based on the story of Ed Gein, who is a Wisconsin legend. He was from Plainfield, Wisconsin, and Ed Gein did do some horrible things. He has since passed away, but Psycho was based loosely on what he did.
Yeah, and then they made a couple Ed Gein movies too. You know.
Oh yeah.
So yeah, that's always very interesting when it's based on something real. I think people like to hear that because it makes it seem more real when they watch the movie, but.
Yeah, it makes it even scarier.
Yeah.
It seems to me that when I saw Halloween, that was, if I'm not mistaken, that first one was in the late 70s, early 80s, but I can't remember.
Yeah, I think it was the late 70s.
The reason I remember that is that I thought I was going to school in college and went with some friends. And was that the start of where you think all is well now, you're safe, and we think the movie is over, but then at the very end you get one last scare.
At the end of Halloween, they think that they kill him, and I think he falls out the second story of a window, and he's laying there, and then the next, the end shot is he's gone.
Oh, that's so, right. So there's going to be a sequel, yeah.
Yeah, but so many movies, at the end you think they're dead. And then all of a sudden they reach out and grab you. Like, I think all the Friday the 13th movies and many of those, that's how Jason, who's like this hockey masked killer who's all deformed, you think he's dead and they're trying to sneak by him and he reaches out and grabs him, you know. So that's you see that done all the time.
Yeah, and we did at least do a Google search and we see no stories that say that Halloween was based on a true story involving a guy from Fond du Lac. So you can calm down, everybody. Wayne and Hayward is with us. Hi, Wayne.
I guess after seeing my so-called, quote, first kind of horror movie, the Alfred Hitchcock Birds.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, the Birds. Yeah, that's a great one.
I could never get over the fact that any intelligent person could have taken care of the problem really easily. And I've hardly ever watched a horror movie before more than 5 minutes and saying, this is so stupid. How can any intelligent person even think about it and talk about it and not say, well, with any good, well-placed shot from a good handgun and rifle, the problem would be taken care of.
Yeah.
I guess, Wayne, you can look at it that way. But I guess you do sometimes. I remember, you know, saying, no, I would not go downstairs with the lights not working to check out that that spooky sound, that something that went bump in the night. Yet in horror movies, that always happens.
Yeah, that's true. And then there's horror movies, you know, people who are afraid of spiders, I'm sure, have a real hard time watching, you know, spider movies. And there's a whole slew of, you know, horror spider movies or giant rats or whatever. So, yeah, you know, definitely talks about your fears, you know.
Yeah. Let's take a listen to a clip from another one of your favorite movies. This is from Gargoyle.
What if mankind isn't ready to be wiped off the face of the earth?
Hmm? Oh, you'll be around to see it, Moldy. The end of your age. The beginning of mine.
I'm sorry, that was from Gargoyles. What was going on there?
Gargoyles, yeah, that's a great one. Some of my favorite horror movies are ones that were made for television movies in the early 70s, because TV used to make a lot of very creepy movies. And Gargoyles, the premise of this was an archaeologist and his daughter out west, and somebody says that they found a skeleton and some weird creature. They don't know what it is. And they go and check it out, and the guy has it hanging in his barn. And at first, the scientist thinks it's like an amalgamation of, you know, you just put these bones together in this weird shape. But it looks like a winged human. And it actually turns out to be real, because nearby there's these gargoyles, these creatures that haven't been around for about 1,000 years, and are starting to hatch, because I guess they sort of hibernate for a while and they come back. And they're sort of the source of demons. That's what they look like. They're, you know, reptilian, and some of them have wings, and some of them have, like, beaks. And they're all different looking, but they're, you know, malevolent. And what's really odd about this is they want to be left alone. They just sort of want to go about and do their thing. But they're very threatening, and they speak in those reverberating demon voices, and great makeup effects. I think they were done by Stan Winston, who, you know, did the effects later for first Terminator and Alien and Aliens, and really, really creepy movie.
Let's take another call. Lam in Chicago. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi.
Yes, go ahead. What is your nomination?
I'd like to nominate World War Z, and the reason I think it's terrifying is that, you know, like with every other horror movie, it's localized. You know, you take a wrong turn somewhere and you end up somewhere you don't want to, or you're in a haunted house, you always have the chance to leave. You just get up and leave. But with World War Z, no matter where you go, you could fly to another continent and you'd be facing the same horror again.
Yeah, World War Z, Kevin.
Yeah, that's the exact reason I like that movie, is because there's no escape. Because a lot of times with, like, zombie movies, you know, they're all trapped in a house or they're trapped in a building, and it's just a small group of characters, and, you know, it's possible that there's some safe place to go. But in World War Z, they show this whole zombie outbreak on a worldwide level, and it's terrifying because there is no safe place, so I really liked that. I thought it was a really well-done zombie movie because it showed, you know, it on a global level, and it showed, like, millions of people as zombies. And it was a really, really good effect, you know, with the computer effects showing that. And they couldn't have done it any other way. So, yeah, that's a really good zombie flick.
Thank you, Lem. You know, we've been talking mainly about good ones that people think are good ones. Here's an email from Kathy who says, under the so bad it's good category, I still love Mars Attacks. Is that really a horror movie?
Oh, Mars Attacks. Yeah. Yeah, the Tim Burton film. And, you know, that is a cheesy horror movie, but, you know, there's movies like that, and they're intentionally made to be hokey and cheesy and sort of terrible, but it's done on purpose. You know, that's what the filmmakers succeeded in. That Tim Burton movie is sort of an adaptation of these really weird little collectible, like, baseball-sized cards, and which showed these Martians who sort of have these skull heads, you know, frying people and killing them. And so that was a really fun movie, but it is, you know, very hokey and very over the top and not realistic at all. But it is funny, and it's more funny than anything. So there's a lot of movies like that, like Killer Clowns from Outer Space is another one, where you have these aliens that come to Earth, and they look like clowns. That's what they resemble, but they're not. They're not friendly or anything, and their spaceship looks like a giant circus tent, and they round up people and encase them in, like, a cotton candy substance to later eat them. So, yeah, those are, you know, they're bad, but they're done on purpose.
Yeah.
Unlike, let's say, like an Ed Wood movie where, you know, I think it was very serious making Plan 9 from Outer Space and, you know, those movies that he had Bela Lugosi in at the end of his career. I don't think he went out to make a funny, goofy, stupid movie. I think it was serious. So those are the ones that are so bad they're good, is because it's, like, unintentionally bad, I think.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's go to some more calls. Ruth in Madison is next. Hello, Ruth.
Hi. And I also want to nominate one under the So Bad It's Good, although I don't know. Not too many people ever saw this movie. It's called The Clock Man. And I'm pretty sure that I saw it like around 1962, maybe 63, maybe 61. And it was a black and white movie, of course. I think it was during the Shirley Temple hour. And it was because she kept, I think, I remember her just coming in and, you know, between the commercial breaks and saying little things. But basically the story was a good scientist had built this 10-foot-tall robot-like kind of like the Nutcracker-looking, too, like a clock man. His face was a clock. And it was a good clock that stood there with his tick-tock heart. Well, then a bad scientist came and stole the clock man and replaced the good heart with a thump-thump, thump-thump, thump-thump heart, of course. And then, of course, I think that the first victim of this bad heart was that evil scientist, because suddenly the clock man now had these foot-long spindles of fingernails, and this thing moved at the speed of, you know, like wobbling back and forth like a robot, you know, so it was almost, it was so slow, it was unbelievable. And the only thing that you have any warning of it coming was the thump-thump, thump-thump. And it was always in the dark, and there was always, you know, the off-scene kind of violence. You'd see a shadow of somebody being impaled and lifted up by this. And in the end, the good scientist was able to capture the clock man and replace the bad heart back with another tick-tock good heart. And so it was all well and good in the end.
That's hilarious. I mean, it's a the clock man. Does that one sound familiar, Kevin?
Yeah, I've never even heard of that. That's interesting.
I'm going to have to check that one out, too. Thank you very much, Ruth. We have a weather break, and then we'll be back with more movies that you like to watch to scare you. 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org, or post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Kevin Lindenmuth is the author of horror movies, The Good, The Bad, and The So Bad They're Good. This is the Ideas Network. Right now we are talking about horror movies. What are some of the best ones you've ever seen? 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Let's talk about this one next.
Ladies and gentlemen, I've got the winners. I give you Tommy Ross and Kerry White.
Yay! Kerry. Oh, my goodness. That one was that spooked me out, especially the blood at the end of the prom. Kevin, Carrie was a classic, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. Carrie's great. Because you sympathize for her, you know, throughout the movie because she's picked on. And then at the end when she lets her power, you know, fly and starts killing everybody, you're like, oh, no, that's terrible. You know, it's just there's a lot of people who get killed. They don't deserve it, you know, and she's out of control. So, yeah, it's a very intense movie.
Well, here's Sheree in Waupun has a story about Carrie. Hi, Sheree.
Hi, good morning. When I was younger and my sister used to date, my mom would send us on my sister's date, you know, kind of as an insurance policy, you know.
You're right.
And we went to a drive-in with my sister and her boyfriend, and we saw Carrie. And I was maybe 6 at the time. And I was watching it, and I remember John Travolta getting burned up and everything. But what I remember most is all of a sudden a hand came out of the ground. And it scared the tarnation out of me, if you can imagine. And I put the cover over my head. It scared me so bad. Like, it was a double feature, and Halloween was the other feature. It scared me so bad that I didn't come up from under the cover. And the next day, I ended up with bronchitis.
Oh,
no. I just had my daughter watch the original because she wanted to see the new one. And I was like, no, you should see the original. The original is much better, always better. And the only part that she found scary was the hand at the end.
Yeah, that's what I was remembering about where you think all is well and then something scares you at the very end, and that was the hand coming out of the grave. That's right.
Oh, yeah, at the tombstone, she's having like a dream, and yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Sheree. There was a remake of Carrie?
Yeah, it's out now. I haven't seen it yet.
Okay, all right.
I'm curious about it. You know, remakes are sort of uneven. Sometimes they're as good. Sometimes they're completely different, and I sort of prefer those, the ones that are, you know, because I don't want to see the exact same movie again if they're going to readapt it, you know, from a book or whatever. So, yeah, I'm interested in seeing how they did with that.
I saw Entertainment Weekly recently came out with a list of the 20 best horror films ever, and number one on its list was this one. Let's take a listen.
Come and play with us. Come and play
with us, Danny. That was from The Shining, in which Danny, a boy with psychic abilities, encounters the ghosts of the murdered Grady twins while exploring the hotel that his family is staying at. Of course, the famous scene from that was... Here's Johnny, right, with Jack Nicholson. Did you think that The Shining deserves the number one spot for the best?
It is. It's creepy. No matter how many times I see it, it creeps me out the same way. And that's a great movie. It's just very well done. But what's funny about that is I had read the Stephen King book before I saw that.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I saw the movie, I didn't like it at all because it's very different from the book. And, but, you know, through the years, as I've seen the Stanley Kubrick version, you know, the original Shining movie, I love that movie. It stands alone. It's a really well-constructed ghost story. And it is among my favorite horror movies. And they remade The Shining for TV about a decade ago. They did, like, a miniseries, and it's a lot like the book, but mm-hmm. It's terrible. It's just not scary, and, it's very interesting how you could adapt the same material and have completely different movies from it.
You know, Portia on Twitter says, The Shining, it's the best. So she agrees, and we've got some other comments who think that that's the best. We have an email from Karen, actually it came in almost a half hour ago, who writes, it's 6:30 and no one's mentioned Rosemary's Baby?
Mm-hmm.
That was, yeah, I remember that one.
Yeah, and that's like The Omen, you know, it's another movie where this woman becomes pregnant. And there's sort of like a cult, a satanic cult living in her building, and she becomes pregnant with the devil's child. And all these people, of course, want her to have the baby, and she doesn't want to have it. And yeah, that's a really good one, too.
Dean in Racine is with us. Hello, Dean.
Hello. Yeah, this one's like a $4.80 movie, but it's actually pretty good. It starred Roddy Piper from the WWF, and he was actually a better actor than the star. It was called They're Alive. It's like all the television and radio people were aliens, and all the rich people and all kinds of all the upper classes of people, but they looked perfectly like humans until you wore these specially made glasses. They gave you really bad headaches, and there was only a few pair of them. And they're like utterly almost mechanical looking monster people. And their whole purpose is to blend in, you know, the usual, and conquer Earth and kill us all up. And they do it through the television and the radio stations with satellites that keep everybody hypnotized so you can't see them. And somehow these glasses, they, like I said, they gave you really bad headaches, but they let you see the truth of who they were. It makes you look at politicians real close.
A broader social message.
That was a great movie, and that was done by John Carpenter, who did the original Halloween. And that's a really entertaining, you know, horror movie slash sci-fi movie. And I believe it's called They Live. And, yeah, Roddy Piper is great in it. He's a good actor in that. He suited that well. And I always remember this one line. He, you know, realizes the majority of these people in power, like business guys and such, are aliens. And there's one scene where he goes in and he says, oh, I'm here to kick ass and bubble gum, and I'm all out of bubble gum.
Oh yeah, I remember that now.
Yeah.
We're almost out of time, but I want to talk a little bit about one that you say we can maybe skip. Let's take a listen to, this is Van Helsing. Here we go.
Van Helsing.
Edna? No, do not stop me. Don't stop me. No, you must not. No. No!
Stop! Stop it! I'm getting you out of here. Belkin, it's all right. I'm taking you home.
Sounds like somebody was dying a horrible death there.
Yeah, and you know that was Van Helsing was a $100+ million movie that you could tell they were inspired by all those original, you know, classic monsters like Dracula and Frankenstein and Wolfman and, like, those team-ups that they did, like House of Frankenstein and House of Dracula in the 40s. But it just went horribly awry, and it just looks like a big computer video game with no heart and just...
Yeah.
It was painful to watch, so I did not like that movie.
We have just not even 30 seconds to go. What are you going to watch tonight?
I'll probably watch the original Halloween. I haven't seen it in a while, so it's definitely on the list, and I think it's appropriate.
Well, this was a lot of fun. Thank you so much for being with us.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Kevin Lindenmuth is the author of horror movies, The Good, The Bad, and The So Bad They're Good. Thanks to Robin Sherry and to Christy Taylor for producing and directing the hour. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.